In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We started this past Sunday a journey as we walked into Jerusalem with the disciples of Jesus. We walked next to him, waving those palms and proclaiming, Hosanna! Proclaiming all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King. We joined the Messiah on his triumphal march into the holy city. This past Thursday, we sat with the disciples as they joined Jesus for supper in the upper room. We were there as Jesus took bread and wine and gave it to his disciples to eat and declared to them, this is my body, this is my blood, this is the new covenant. We pondered the mystery of sacrifice. Yesterday, we followed with the disciples as Jesus led them to the garden to pray. We saw our Lord's betrayal of Judas, by Judas. We saw his sham trial before the high priest. We saw him dragged before Pilate, the governor, who, even though he saw no fault in Jesus, washed his hands of the whole thing as the people shouted out, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. Finally, yesterday, we followed as Jesus was led by the soldiers to Golgotha, nailed to a cross, died in agony, and was buried in a tomb. We read the lesson from the book of Hebrews yesterday where the writer explains to us that what happened on the cross was the very same sacrifice that Jesus told his friends about on Thursday night in the upper room. That whereas the priest of the old covenant stood before the altar each and every day to offer sacrifices for sin that could never atone in and of themselves, but pointed to a greater sacrifice that could and would be made by Jesus Christ, our great high priest. He offered himself as a once for all and perfect sacrifice for sin. Where the high priest had to go back and stand before the altar day after day after day to make offerings for sin. Jesus did it once, one time, and then sat down at the right hand of the Father. We saw Jesus yesterday lifted on the cross, stretching out his arms to invite us to new life in him, so that he can take us through that torn veil and into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. He takes us into the place that we could never go before on our own as sinners. And he can do it because by his perfect sacrifice, he has washed us clean. And now tonight, Easter Eve, we recall God's great acts and promises of redemption. We follow his friends to the tomb where they found the angel sitting on the rolled back stone, proclaiming the now empty tomb, saying, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen just as he said he would. Tonight we hear the Easter message. Jesus didn't just die for our sins, but he rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. The resurrection gives us a message that it's not enough for God through Christ to merely forgive sins, to wipe the slate clean. The story doesn't end with Good Friday. It doesn't end with Jesus dead in the tomb. The story continues the next day with Christ victorious over sin and death, and the message that when we put our faith in his perfect sacrifice, we are made dead to sin and alive to new life. Look at our epistle lesson for this evening from Romans 6. Paul tells us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Our baptism is the sign and seal of our union with Christ. just as the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of our continuing life in Him. The body and blood are what give us our nourishment. But before we have that, in our baptism, we are united to Christ. Baptism is the funeral and the burial of the old self, the old sinful self. As we receive that external sign of washing with water, the Father fills us with His indwelling Holy Spirit who renews our hearts and minds. Our baptism proclaims that as we are united with Christ, we are also made dead to sin. Each of us stood condemned to the wrath of God because of our sins. But on Good Friday, the blood of Christ flowed from the cross and washed our sins away, allowing us to enter the holy presence of God uncondemned. But Christ's sacrifice also frees us from the power of sin, and through the work of His Spirit, enables us to live new lives that are free to do the good works that God has called us to. The cross is more than fire insurance. Much, much more. St. Paul goes on in that same passage from Romans 6. He says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For any of us who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." I don't know how to make it any plainer than Paul does. We have been united with Christ in His death. And if we've experienced death with Him on Good Friday, we'll also, as he says, certainly, it's a sure thing, folks, we will certainly, as he says, be united unto Him, so to experience the resurrection on Easter too. Neither death nor sin has dominion over Him anymore, and it doesn't have dominion over us anymore either. And yes, that does mean eternal life and perfection someday on the other side of Judgment Day. But it has application for the here and now, too. Look at the verses that continue. I'm going to go beyond our official epistle lesson. St. Paul goes on. Because of our death to sin and our life to God, the new life, he says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." Don't let sin make you obey. Don't let it have control over you because you're dead to it. "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life." And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, St. Paul goes on in the book of Romans for several chapters to talk about the fact, through chapter 8, to talk about the fact that even though we've been given new life, our old sinful natures are still with us. We've been talking about this on Sunday nights. But here, before he talks about that battle, he gives us the good news and the foundation that we need to have first. He tells us, because you are united to Christ in His death, and because you are united to Him in His resurrection, you are free from the dominion of sin. You are not its slave anymore. It might still be in you, it might still fight a big battle with you, but you are free from it. It's not your boss, so don't let it push you around. The practical upshot is, don't let sin have control. We're free. You see, the evidence of new life in Christ, the evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, is a desire, a new desire that we didn't have before, to do what is pleasing to God. St. Paul says, don't present yourselves to sin as tools for unrighteousness. That's the old you. You didn't have any choice about it with the old you. But present yourselves to God now, having new life, having been brought from death and brought to life. Present yourselves now and be tools, be vessels for righteousness. You no longer stand condemned by the law, but live in the grace of God. I'm convinced our problem, our struggle with holiness that we have, is that we too often take our eyes off of Christ, off of what he's done for us. Thursday, we had a chance to renew our focus on his body broken and his blood shed for us. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to reflect and renew our focus on the cross, where his sacrifice was made for our sakes. And between yesterday afternoon and this evening, I hope that we've all had a chance to be taken by those outstretched hands on the cross, the hands of Jesus, the hands with the scar with the big nail hole in them, that we've had a chance to be taken by his hands and be led into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of the Father. Because it's as Jesus holds our hand, and we remember that it's only through him who died the death that we deserve, that we can come into God's holy presence. And we also need to stand in awesome wonder in the holy presence of Almighty God to fully grasp our own unrighteousness and the weight of the grace and mercy that we've been shown. That, friends, is what drives us to holiness. We give ourselves as living sacrifices, not legalistically out of duty. We give ourselves to God, becoming instruments of righteousness, out of gratitude for the great love that has been shown to us. Christ has died for us. Christ has risen for us. Hallelujah. Please pray with me. Almighty God and Father, we come before you tonight to give thanks for the amazing work of grace that you did for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, when he gave himself on the cross for our sins. But Father, by the work of your Spirit living in us, keep us ever mindful that our sins aren't just forgiven. You've taken away sin's dominion and called us to holiness. Give us the grace to walk in holiness, driven to serve and please you out of gratitude for the great love and the great mercy you have shown to us. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.